Right now, let's bring up our brother, Winston Parker, and he's going to share a message with us.
Dave, can you get this? Yes.
Good morning, man.
Good morning.
Man, you have been fire hosed this whole weekend, haven't you? One more, huh? Let me pray, huh? Lord, these guys are tired, and just pray that you'd join us. We acknowledge that if you don't join us and take over, we might as well go home right now. So we would ask you to join us and do what you want to do for your glory, for your purpose. When we think about you, Lord, it's... You overwhelm us with your love, your acceptance, your mercy. We could go on and on. There's no end to it. So thank you. Again, please, 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 your will, not ours. In Christ's name, amen. Men, if you would, in your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11. Keep your Bibles close because we're going to be moving around a little bit. As you can see from the PowerPoint here that our time this morning is called Grace, God's Grace Rest. So let's read. If you I'll read and you follow along. Matthew 11:28. God's grace rest. God wants us to have a supernatural rest in our relationship with Him. So that's what our title's all about. And God's grace is God's way of expressing His love and acceptance of us. God's rest is God's way of enabling you and I as Christians to accept not only God's love and acceptance, but then accept others with His love. So let's read along with this Matthew 11:28, and Jesus invites us to have His rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. In all the turmoil we live in today, don't we? We could use some rest for our souls, can't we? Yeah. So this morning, we're going to spend our time considering how to live in God's rest and then be able to accept and love others God's way. So now turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. This is where we're going to kind of camp out for most of our time. Hebrews chapter 4 is about the Christian resting in God. The chapter's not about salvation. Chapter 3, preface to chapter 4, gives us an illustration of a nation of Israel refusing to enter the promised land and missing an opportunity to rest in God. And so in chapter 4, The very first verse, he reminds you and I as Christians that be careful, be sure and enter God's rest. Then in verse 4, he reminds us that just as God entered as God entered his rest on the seventh day of creation, so now you and I can rest in his rest. Hebrews 4:4. He has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested from his, on the seventh day from all of his works. Then in chapter, in verse 9, the writer assures us that God's rest remains for you and I today as Christians. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The word rest there, that whole word means in the Greek is sabbatism. Figuratively taken, it means the repose of Christianity, a type of heaven. In other words, when we rest in God, we have a little taste of heaven today. Then in verse 10, we are told that entering God's rest entails you and I as Christians resting from our works as God did from his. Let's look at that verse 10. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. One of the applications of resting from our works, as he says we need to, is ceasing from pursuing acceptance of people and resting in the acceptance of God. Let me repeat that. Ceasing from pursuing the acceptance of people and resting in the acceptance of God. We'll get more deeper into that, but all people are relational by being created in the image of God. God is relational. Healthy relationships require mutual acceptance. Therefore, all humans, as humans, we have to work all our lives being accepted by others. It's affected how we act, how we dress, how we talk, and our overall living of life, accepting the acceptance of others. We call it peer pressure. Now notice in verse 10 again that he says that we must cease seeking the acceptance of others to enter God's rest. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for seeking the acceptance of God, seeking the acceptance of others rather than the acceptance of God. John 12:43 says, the Pharisees, they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Yeah. So to enter God's rest, we must rest in the acceptance of God rather than seek the acceptance of men. And men, it's a real transition for us. Because we've done it all of our lives. Now, verses 12 and 13 remind us of God's unconditional acceptance of you and I as a Christian. Let's just look at verse 12. It says, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. See, the Bible, the word of God is like a mirror in that it reflects the truth about us, who we are and how we are. We may not like what the scripture tells us, but it's the truth. The Bible is a truth mirror for the Christian. The scripture shows us all of our deficiencies, but it also shows us God's love and acceptance of us. Then the next verse, in verse 13, it tells us that God sees us completely as we are and yet accepts us unconditionally through Christ's work on the cross. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Grab a hold of that for a moment. God knows everything about us. Our thoughts. Wow, I've got thoughts I would never show you guys. Words, our deeds, our past, our present, our future. And he still accepts us unconditionally through Jesus Christ. Men, this is the first time we've ever been accepted unconditionally. All other relationships we've ever had or ever have now are conditional acceptance. Let that sink in. First time in our lives we've ever been accepted unconditionally. Let me come up for air, and if there's any questions on at this point, if not, then we'll get into the details of talking about God's rest, of entering it. Michael?
Can you comment on how this fits with what we heard last night, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, how we're supposed to bring those together?
Sure. Yeah. As Bill talked last night about the Matthew 7 passage, the problem they had there was they had never let Jesus be surrender the Lord of their lives, and that's part of having the relationship. And if we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, what does that mean?
He's the boss.
He's the boss, yeah. They'd not done that. Here we're talking about when we have done that, then God accepts us no matter what our past is, anything, unconditionally. Yeah, that's one of the mysteries of grace, isn't it? All righty, let's talk a little bit about entering God's rest. We enter God's rest by faith, trusting God's unconditional acceptance through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's by faith, men. Secondly, in order to enter God's rest, we have to accept God's acceptance of us. And as a result of that, then we have to accept ourselves. Wow. See, if we don't accept ourselves, men, then we're going to set a standard higher than God's. And that's crazy. If we don't accept ourselves, then we don't enter God's rest, and we'll continue in the bondage that we've been in all of our lives, seeking the acceptance of others, and we'll miss God's rest. And it is bondage, men. that we've been in of trying to seek the acceptance of others. That's what the world runs on. That's why all marketing, marketing plays to that. Boy, if you just, they don't say it this way, but if you just drove this car, you'd be accepted. Think what people think of you, or dress this way, or whatever they're selling. They're feeding the one thing, the bondage that we've been under of trying to please other people, trying to seek acceptance. And the problem is they continue moving the goalposts. Yeah. You never arrive. It's destructive. However, accepting ourselves will be a challenge, a new faith venture, because we've been so conditioned to seek the acceptance of others that we can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. But the good news, He will. Jesus says in John 15:5, He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is one of the things that we can't do on our own. But with the Holy Spirit, no problem. Entering God's rest is one of those times when we need the Holy Spirit. See, God's grace for the Christian is God's supernatural empowering by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I've found for myself an application is I ask God every morning before my head gets off the pillow that He'll give me the grace, which is supernatural empowerment. He'll give me the grace to rest in Christ today. First thing I ask Him, because if he doesn't give me the grace to live, to abide in Jesus without interruption, I don't have a chance in hell. But you know, it's God's will, so He'll give it to us if we just come and ask Him. God, give me the grace to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way totally in my life today. Wow. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit begins to do something mystical at the soul level. You guys have experienced it, I'm sure. You ever had a time when you're just restless, perplexed, maybe angry, fearful? You grab your Bible and you go find a quiet place and start praying and reading. Sometimes you read the Psalms just to get settled down. And if you just continue there, that fear, that unrest, and you find yourself beginning to experience some of God's peace, serenity. That's a taste of resting in God. And God wants us to live that way, uninterrupted, through the day, through the night. See, when we do that, now we're equipped to accept ourselves and rest in Jesus. Before you ask me, let me just remind ourselves that accepting ourselves does not mean we don't take sin seriously. But God's acceptance is not affected by our sin. Wow. However, unconfessed and unrepentant sin does interfere with our fellowship with Jesus, and it hinders us from resting in God. Confession and repentance of sin is essential to enjoy resting in God uninterrupted. Entering God's rest will give us a sense of empowerment, freedom, and security in having the unconditional acceptance of God. Just for example, now, as we're resting in God, when others don't accept us, now we can let it be their problem and not ours. Gentlemen, that's freedom. That is freedom. Jesus says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Wow, oh wow. You might say that when we're resting in God, now we're comfortable in our own skin. That's the way God wants us to live. And one of the reasons is, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Let me stop. Any questions or so on? And then we're going to talk about love and how it affects our abilities to love others, which is we're commanded to do. Yes, sir. Jordan?
With that verse about letting our light shine before men so they may see our good works.
Yes.
How does that reconcile with also that we'll be hated and persecuted with Christ as well, where it's there could be some people that see our good works and there could be other people that hate like the righteousness that the Holy Spirit's shining through us.
Jordan, when we're letting the Holy Spirit have total freedom in our lives, then how we handle the rejection of others is going to be so unnatural to the world that God is glorified. When I love my enemy, when I don't retaliate for revenge. Jesus said, or Paul said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. That blows the world away. That just doesn't calculate with them. Yeah. And some are drawn toward that, and some of them resent it, and they express their anger in many ways. Yeah. Anything else? I thought you had all the answers.
Could we help me reconcile a little bit? So as Jerry...
Number six.
Now if you're trying to get me to reconcile with bangers, forget it.
So,
I accept you, Winston.
Last night, as Jerry talked about the idea of the bending of our will, the breaking of our will, and kind of our own depravity, that against acceptance of myself, a lot of times can be a tension point of trying to figure out how I bridge those gaps. I don't like who I am, and yet I know God can accept me for who I am. So how can I make a little bit of sense of that?
Well, it goes without saying that we're not going to rest in God if my will isn't broken. if I don't have a heart condition of, Jesus, I want your will more than anything in the world. And in fact, if a man doesn't have that, he doesn't have any assurance of his salvation. Because that's what the Romans 10 says. If you confess your mouth, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But notice that first part of that verse is, what does it start with? If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And so we're just not going to go anywhere without Lordship. And that's, I think that was a big part of what Jerry was trying to communicate last night. Does that make sense? Yeah. And I'm sure most of you are like me. I have to review that. Psalm 139, 23-24. I found part of my prayer life that's been helpful. And it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any hurtful way in me. Hurtful way. Is there any way, anything that's impeding me from not letting you have your perfect will? Not letting the Holy Spirit have total freedom in my life? Because without that, you know, I might as well go fishing, you know. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So that's something we have to review, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Resting in God enables us to accept God's love and share God's love with others. Why is that? Why is now resting in God enables us to love others? Well, when we're free from seeking the acceptance of others, then we can truly focus on the interest and the needs of others, whether it's our spouse, our kids, family, believers, non-believers, it doesn't make any difference. Let's turn to a passage that has really helpful, I think. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to read we're not going to camp here, but this is the verse right after the verse we're going to look at. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Someone quoted that this weekend. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Yeah, yeah. That's who we are, fellas. We're a new creature. Here's the passage I wanted to share with you and talk about for a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5:16, which is the previous verse. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no longer. Notice the last part of that verse. Even though we have known Christ according to flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. What I asked myself, what in the world does that mean? I think what it means is that at one point the apostles knew Christ as a man. But now we know him as Almighty God sitting on his throne next to God the Father. So in the same way, gentlemen, we can see every individual in a new way has been created in the image of God. And therefore, believer or non-believer, they have worth. They have significance, and they have purpose, believer or non-believer. Deliberately, no longer seeing people based on their appearance, their position in life, their nationality, the color of skin, political views, or whatever. But viewing others in a manner, in this manner, is an act of accepting them in godly love. All of us have been in circumstances where we knew we weren't accepted, and no one had to tell us, did they? We knew, didn't we? Well, in the like manner, when we accept others unconditionally, they know it, and no one has to tell them. And they may not realize what's going on, but it may be the first time in their life they've ever been accepted unconditionally. The result is that The result being the dynamics of the relationship positively change. Let me give you an illustration. I go to a medical building on occasion. I have to check in. There's a young man that checks me in. He's probably early 30s, does a good job, but he's homosexual. And he's got all the trappings. First time I came in there, he was stiff, wouldn't look at me, hardly, did his job. I tried to get him to converse with me, and I couldn't hardly do that. But as I've continued to go back, I keep look at him in this way. And you know what? Today, when he sees me coming, I get a little wave, and he smiles, and he's cordial. He doesn't even know what's happened. Hold on a minute. See, viewing others in this way is agape love in action. And men, there's no defense for love. No defense. It's a fun way to live. Resting in God equips us to experience an intimacy in Christ's love and initiate love relationships with others for their good. Hopefully giving us the possibility of sharing the gospel and helping them in their faith. The man I told you about, E squared, we haven't gotten to the gospel yet, but that's on the program. Yeah. Tom, you had a microphone?
I mostly had an observation, Winston, of my own experience and also the connection point to seed planting over the medium term, where I am engaged in relationship and rapport building with a person before I earn the right to share Christ with them. And what you just shared, acceptance, along with encouragement and showing interest in them by asking them questions about themselves. And it's sort of like a three-legged stool or two sides of the same coin in terms of positioning myself to see them properly as you're bringing forth and earning the right to share Christ. That's one of my methods of operation. People do not get encouraged in our world today. Yeah. Nobody pauses to do that. And it's all part of that same mix in my experience of that. So I just wanted to share that.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Yeah. How much, what's my time look like, Dan? Now, you put me on late. Let me just remind you of that.
You take all the time you need.
We've got about 30 more seconds. We're good until, how much time do you need?
What is? Yeah. All right. I'm up. Okay. All right.
30 more of you?
What?
How about 30 minutes?
30 minutes? Okay. Men, I tell you that story of the my homosexual friend. But one of the things I've found that's really helpful to me and get to practice is when I get a chance to talk to someone on the street, that's living on the street, I talk to them. I'll tell you a story. I was driving out of the parking lot of Walmart, and I had a kind of a little road I had to go on before I got on the main avenue. And there was a older lady sitting in a wheelchair, had her little sign up, she needed help. So I pulled over and rolled down the passenger side window. And she said, I knew you were coming. I said, well, how'd you know I was coming? She said, well, I prayed. I said, you must know Jesus. Oh, yes, I knew Jesus. So we had a good time. And so I gave her the Steps to Peace that was just demonstrated and gave her a little money and started to roll up the window. She says, I'll see you again. So I pulled onto the street and started down the street. I got down the battle block and the Holy Spirit said, you didn't give her enough money. So I drove the next block arguing with the Holy Spirit, and then I turned around and went back. So I pulled up, rolled down the window. I told you I'd see you again. So I gave her some more money. And so now she's not there all the time, but she is there sometimes when I go to Walmart. And she knows me by name. She calls me Winston now. So, yeah. You know, when I talk to some of these fellas that are on the street, as I talk to them, I think to myself, and again, I'm trying to, as that the verse we looked at, we do not look at, we do not recognize men according to the flesh. And as I look at them, and I don't know their life story and all the life experiences they've had, but men, I do know one thing, that if I would have walked in their shoes from the time they were in the womb to today, and if Jesus hadn't reached out and grabbed me, saved me from myself, I'd be right where that man is. And I walk away from that, and my grateful index goes straight up. Only by the grace of God, as the Apostle Paul said of himself. So it is with us, men. Gratefulness, and it's been talked about today, this weekend. Gratefulness is a good way to check whether we got our head screwed on pretty well or not. When I find myself kind of grumbling and maybe complaining about what I'm having to go through, I know that I'm out of focus, that I better get my Bible and get myself squared around. Men, we have got so much to be grateful for. Let's just take 1 minute, and I want you to think of five things. I'm not going to ask you for them. Ask five things that you're grateful for, just between you and you. Let me ask you, anyone grateful for hot water in your shower when you take it? Huh? There you go. There you go. One of my grandsons and I went to Israel. We ended up living with the Palestinians in this. It was a school, and no hot water. You had to take those cold showers. And so I find myself, even in the cold, when I take a shower of a morning, sometimes thanking God for that warm, warm shower. But we got so much to be grateful for. Amen. Yeah, so much. Yeah. Bill McCurran and I were walking, and Mike was walking ahead of us, a young guy, and Bill said, "Don't you wish you could walk like he walks?" But Mike probably hadn't even thought about thanking God for being able to walk the way he walked, you know? And one of our brothers here, same thing. Yeah. Well, let me take this time, and I'll just add this in. It's not in my notes. Turn with me to James chapter 6. What did I say?
You said James 6. We stopped at James 5.
I'm sorry. Matthew 6. I'll get it right. It'll take me some time, but I'll get it right. What the heck, you know? We'll go to Jude 2 next time. Yeah. All right, Matthew 6:33. Jesus is talking about anxiety and addressing it. And he says, here's the answer to anxiety. Here's the solution. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that mean? That means having an attitude of your will, not mine. And then all that encompasses. And God says, all you have to do is do that. And he says, I'll take the responsibility for meeting your needs so you don't have to worry about it. And men, I've had guys come to me so uptight, anxious over their whatever they're going through. So we'll talk about this verse. And then I'll ask them one question. Are you going to be okay today? And men, in all the dozens and dozens of men I've asked that question, not one time has a man ever said, no, I'm not going to be okay today. And so Jesus, in the next verse, tells us how to live out this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Boy, that's a truth, isn't it? Yeah. Do not worry about tomorrow. See, what all those men, when they say today, yes, I'm going to be okay today, It's tomorrow I'm worrying about. It's tomorrow I'm anxious about. I've had guys say, well, you know, I'm just worried sick. You know, I just got these little kids, but man, you know how much it costs to send them to college? And they're uptight about that today. See, men, as I mentioned to you earlier, I asked God to give me the grace to rest in Him, to abide in Christ just today. God will only give us enough grace to live today the way He wants us to live. He will not give us enough grace to live tomorrow. But He will give us enough grace that when tomorrow becomes today, then He'll give us enough grace to live today. Amen. One day at a time. There's a lady, a friend of the family's, that runs marathons, and she's trying to run 100 miles. She's got up to 72. And I said, what's one of the secrets you've learned to stay at it when the body hurts and what have you? She said, I never look toward the end. She said, I keep my head down and look right forward to what I'm looking at. And interesting, I tried that little, I walk quite a bit. And sometimes when I'm walking, trying to push myself, and the body's saying no, instead of looking out there, wherever the finish line is, wherever it's at, I just look at the cracks in the concrete. And it's amazing how it's just a blink of an eye seems like I'm there. But if I look at the end, then I find myself, oh man, this hurts, and so on. Just amazing. One day at a time. One day at a time. Any questions? Then I'm going to close it down. I'll wrap it up. Yes, sir.
So this goes off of the acceptance while interacting with others. So I'm curious your perspective on how to sit in that while we're being pained by others that we're closest to. So like a wife or a child, we want the best for them, but we also don't want to interact necessarily in the we are getting hurt by them. But my specific situation is I react and then attack at times. And this could be a verbal increase in my voice. It could be my tone. It could be a cold shoulder. It could be whatever, but I'm definitely not accepting that other person. But I also don't want to enable them to continue in that sinful act. So what would you say to that?
Well, I accept them. I have to accept them as a person. The illustration I gave with the homosexual man, I accept him as a person because he's created in the image of God. But I don't agree with his lifestyle. I don't accept his lifestyle. And in relationships where I have a close relationship, like you're talking with the family or some brothers that we have close relationships with, then I will talk to them about it because it's in their good, in their presence. I mean, it's in their best interest. But I was reading I read an autobiography on Abraham Lincoln one time, and he was in a terrible, terrible job at that time with the Civil War. Horrible. We can't imagine what his where he was at. They said after he died, and they were cleaning the things out of his desk, there were several letters that he had written to certain generals that were not, he was not pleased with. But he'd never mailed them. Because they were probably written when he was in the flesh. And he wasn't responding properly. And so I think in those times, if I understand what you're saying, sometimes we have to kind of walk away and get ourselves in control before we deal with some hard issues.
I didn't like texting until I found out that I could write a whole text and delete, 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 delete. Thank you for
that. Yeah. And by the way, texting, email, whatever, is a horrible way to communicate when it's dealing with relationships. It's horrible. It's destructive. Don't do it. Look a person in the eye and show interest in them. Accept them as they are, and they won't know that unless you're there. And if it's in writing, it's so easy to misinterpret or read things into it that's not meant to be, you know. So anyway, anything else? All right, let me wrap it up and we'll take you out of your misery here. So in closing, let me just kind of summarize. God accepts us as Christians unconditionally. Secondly, we need to accept ourselves as God does. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to accept ourselves and rest in Christ. We need to accept others as God does. Resting in God enables us to live in a loving and accepting way toward God, toward ourselves, and toward others. Resting in God will result in eternal gain. And Jesus commands us, a new commandment I give you, love one another. Thank you, men.
That was great, Winston. Thank you so much.